In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know about you, but these lessons of Scripture bring to mind many songs. Do they bring up any songs for you? I have, prepare ye the way of the Lord, from Godspell. I've got lots of Handel's Messiah going through my head. Every valley shall be exalted.
You have such a beautiful voice.
Thank you. And comfort ye my people. Comfort ye my people. And then, of course, you know that there ain't no mountain high enough. You got to get some Diana Ross in there for the second Sunday of Advent. And then we get to all people are grass and their constancy is like a flower in the field. And I thought of dust in the wind. So I even went to Kansas. Well, today in Advent, we meet John the Baptist, and we are also at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, and the prophet Isaiah is in the wilderness. And the prophet Isaiah said, we are like grass. So there's so many directions, so many metaphors, so many images, so many songs today, and I thought I'd stick with all people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. What is the consistency of grass? Bends around. You know, you've got this prophet who says, make straight in the highway. I'm thinking of like a level that's so firm and sure. But then Isaiah reminds us that we are grass and that we bend and we fade. We try to maintain grass. We try to mow it in straight rows. But left to its own devices, it grows wild and untamed. Another thing about grass, you can mow it down, and under the right conditions, it grows back. We cut down that grass out in front of the air conditioners every year, and up it pops right back. It lives for a season, you cut it down, and it comes right back anew. So John the Baptist is this shoot of grass, springing up in the wilderness, preparing the way for Jesus. And he is a forerunner. Okay, so now I'm going to get really weird, and it's perfect that both of you who are here at the 8 o'clock service live in Northside, because I'm going to show you something that you've probably passed by on your way to church this morning. So there, until this week, used to be a sign outside the Old Timber Inn.
Fish logs.
Yeah. And this old man ran the bar. I don't know if either of you ever had fish logs. I never made it to have fish logs. Some of my friends did. But many people know the sign that proclaimed there were fish logs in this place. And people took joy in this sign. My daughter's, one of her soccer teams was actually called the Flying Fish Logs. We had chants about fish logs. This is a highly contextual sermon today for we who know this sign. Well, little did we know that this man who served fish logs was a forerunner of what was to come. So people in Northside became endeared to this man and his serving of fish logs and the sign, fish logs. And so he died about a year and a half ago, the man who served the fish logs, and the lettering came down. And you may have noticed that up went the crocheted fish logs sign. It's crocheted. And at Christmas, they crocheted the lights onto it. So it became a public art display called yarn bombing. And so the fish log sign was yarn bombed. And over the past year, the fish log sign, like grass, has withered and faded away. So you can see what it looks like right before.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look as pretty as it did a year ago. So there's our icon for today.
Fish logs.
The prophet Isaiah proclaims, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. But the word of our God will stand forever. So today we encounter John the Baptist like a reed of grass in the wilderness. We know the reality of wilderness in our own spirits, the way we can feel like grass blown in the wind when we face time passing, our own lives fading, and those around us whom we love sometimes die and pass on as well. Karl Rahner writes, John the Baptist is in the wilderness, obviously because he finds these surroundings appropriate to his life. The parched solitude, the endless spaces where no one can feel at home. Inevitably, we keep discovering that we too are in the wilderness. The wilderness of a great city, the wilderness of isolation, a wilderness that seems to have no center, a wilderness we cannot feel at home in. So I know when this man died who served the fish logs, even though I never met him, I had a fair bit of grief. Some of it was passing this building that was now empty and deteriorating further, and the sign that was deteriorating. Here's what Isaiah proclaims after he's acknowledged the fleeting nature of this life and the reality of his world around him. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Well, the fish logs crocheting came down this week. So look at it on your way home on Spring Grove. Drive on Spring Grove to get home. Someone tagged it where it had been with bright purple graffiti, and now it still reads fish logs.
In graffiti.
So I looked on Only in Northside, the Facebook wall, and there came an announcement. The time has come to retire the fish log sign. Yarn bombing is always a temporary endeavor. From the before and after, you can see why. What we'd like to do is reconfigure this as a blanket and gift it to a nonprofit in Northside to auction off for a fundraiser. And the post had over 340 responses, 86 comments as of yesterday. An overwhelming response came to this sign that began with a simple man in a bar serving beer and fish logs. And it became so much more. The old Timber Inn owner was the forerunner of things he could not have imagined were to come. The building of a robust and beloved community of people who find joy and whimsy and solidarity that's created by public art. Believe it or not, the fish log sign has strong ties to the gospel. And John is a forerunner to Christ. I've got more thoughts from Karl Rahner. He reflects, quote, John indeed is a forerunner. He proceeds without sure and certain knowledge of whom or what he is serving. He may not himself share the immediate experience of the salvation that has become present in Jesus. He longingly foretells it. What he awaits and expects overtakes him without really catching up with him in the sense of his seeing clearly what he was aiming at. Surely we are all forerunners. We are all pilgrims on the wearisome roads of our life. There's always something ahead of us that we have not yet overtaken. When we do catch up with something, it immediately becomes an injunction to leave it behind us and to go onward. Every end becomes a beginning. There is no resting place or abiding city. Every answer is a new question, every good fortune a new longing. Aren't we always dispatching messengers from the dungeon of our compulsions and disappointments? We send them to find the real thing, that which is ultimately valid, even though we do not know where to direct these messengers of our unassuaged longing. Everywhere, always, we are no more than predecessors. The goal of our journeying always to remain far ahead of us, to stay beyond our power, and always to fade into new perspectives of distance, even when we think we are approaching it. What is fading away? All are like grass, but from the hill we cry out. We lift up our voice with strength in this time and place, knowing that life continues to flourish and grow. We, like John, are forerunners. So we celebrate that the way is being prepared and we are part of it, and we cannot even know the hopes and dreams that are to come. So we remain faithful. Amen.